Hours of the Fury is brought to you by Red Nation Online. Find us on Twitter at Red Nation Online and at OIT Fury.
Welcome everybody to episode 65 of Ours is to Fury. Today with me is
Tim
and Kendra,
and of course John. We thought it would be all four of us, but it's snowing. Canadian spring.
A lot.
So Ryan couldn't make it, unfortunately, but hopefully next week it'll be all four of us again. So yeah, let's just jump right into it. The Ottawa Fury lost 3-0 to the New York Cosmos. A lot to talk about.
Yes, definitely. Obviously, the starting lineup looked a lot different than it has.
Considering that they're all gone.
A long time. So we could start there, I guess.
Yeah, let's start with those players that stayed the same. So Pizer was still in goal. And Junior was still somewhere in the midfield. And
oh, he was playing forward-ish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like as a winger or whatever.
Right.
And De Guzman was still there. That's it.
Alves.
Oh yeah, Alves. I forgot Alves. You're right. So four players in the starting 11 were the same as, you know, probably the Soccer Bowl final, minus De Guzman, who was away for the national team and will never forgive you.
No grace on this show. So the back line started with Timbo, the new Brazilian guy. Then Alves and Rosaboom and Porter along the back. And then in the midfield, Doug Leash went with Marcel de Jong, Julian de Guzman, and then Mozzie, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Giorio. And up front we had, as we mentioned, Paulo Jr., Gerardo Bruna, and then Dennis Chin as well. So that was kind of what we looked like.
Yep, and then for subs, we had Johnny Steele. Mauro, unfortunately, on the bench. We had this new sign, Eden Vered, and James Bailey, surprisingly, also a substitute. And what was also a surprise to me is that Andrew McRae seems to be our number two keeper, and not DeBellis.
DeBellis didn't travel for some reason, and so I don't know if he's hurt. There's been no news about him, so I don't know what's going on there. I'm not sure if that's like a one-time thing, or because he didn't travel, I feel like he's probably hurt, but that's just my speculation.
Sure. Yeah, other people that didn't travel were Haworth. That's definitely due to an injury. Venter is, of course, out, what, Tim, 8 or 9 months?
6 to 8, but yeah, close.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks?
Months. Yeah. Oof. Obazi is still with, you know, our beloved Baltimore Blasters. And Balkan, we don't really know what's going on, right?
No, might be an injury. But yeah, they traveled pretty light to New York. Only four outfield subs, and none of them being defensemen.
True.
So I have to admit that I didn't watch the game live. I had an appointment in Toronto, and I actually watched a chick flick with Bailey at a theater there.
Did watch the game.
Yeah, I did watch it this morning, actually. It's now Wednesday, April the 6th, and I went in with obviously really low expectations because I knew the result, but man, there were actually a lot of positives. Like in the very first minute of the game, we won a corner, and we were actually dangerous. We were constantly creating danger up front, actually. And I have to say the game was incredibly entertaining to watch for neutrals for at least 70 minutes or so until the game was decided. How was it like for you guys watching it live?
I kind of had the same initial response as you did. Like, I was like, whoa, we're getting chances. This is, like, we're going right up, right away. So, yeah, it was really encouraging at first. And they looked pretty strong, I thought, coming out and just starting. But then, as we know, things didn't go the best for us.
Yeah, we just lacked shape. And, like, defensively, what were they doing on that left side? I thought Marcel de Jong looked good, but Timbo is not a left back. Like, he's a center back, and he's a makeshift left back, and it did not work, that experiment. What do you think, Bloggy?
Yeah, I think early on we did well. About the 10th to, like, the 20th minute, it was pretty sloppy, I think, on both sides. But that left side with Timbo, Porter seems to not have trouble making the runs up and then covering back. Timbo doesn't seem to have that same ability. I don't know if it's just physical or he just doesn't read the game as well as. But there was a lot of space, and eventually New York capitalized on.
I think it might also be a communication issue. This team doesn't know each other that well yet, and De Jong and Timbo are both new to the team, and they need to really communicate, and because they're always overlapping each other, right? So, but in this game, they were caught out, both of them, at the same time a lot, whereas for some reason the right side worked a lot better. But then you also look at who they played. Like, that what's that Venezuelan guy, not Arango, who scored the two goals, but the other guy?
Arrieta.
Yeah. Like, he's a good player.
Yeah, you can't make too many mistakes against the Cosmos. They will make you pay.
Especially on that right side, from the Cosmos perspective. So I think that, you know, Kyle Porter probably had it a little bit easier on his right side than, you know, De Jong and Timbo had on their left.
Yeah, I guess the first goal, I mean, we replayed it just before we recorded, and it was a free kick from an offside, but it was basically a goal kick, and Fernando Timbo was up around the forwards.
Yeah, he was in the final third of the pitch for some reason as left back.
they lose that header, and they're just right down the left. Arrieta makes, I think, a nice play around Roseboom. I think Roseboom kind of got a bad rap for that, but Arrieta made a nice play around him, and, you know, found a...
He's a center back, you know? Like, if someone runs at you who's, like, half your size and quick, you know, what are you going to do when you're Roseboom, when you're, like, a monster? And it takes, like... I can relate to it because I'm 6'4". Like, when I play against someone that, you know, beer league level here, we're talking beer league, but, if, you know, if someone, like, little and fast runs circles around you, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. And he put a nice cross into Arango to score, and Pizer did all right. I guess Pizer didn't expect the cross. Pizer is trying to just cover the net.
He did not look good on that first goal, but you can't fault him. Like, the mistake was made by Timbo being too far up. For sure, it's a mistake by Timbo. Like, there's no other way of looking at it, I think. What do you think, Kendra?
I agree. Like, when I saw the preseason game in Montreal, I saw Balchen doing the same thing, like running up, but he got back in enough time to cover his position. But I did not see that happening on Sunday. So that's obviously something that they're going to have to practice and tweak out to make sure that's happening properly. So
that was Arango's first goal. And by the way, when I saw Arango on the team sheet, I did tweet out, please man mark this player, whatever you do. And obviously they don't listen to me. But what happened in the second goal that Arango scored, Tim?
They go down the left. Timbo clears the ball, not out of bounds, and they just kind of pass the ball around until a cross comes in, or I think it was actually more of a shot, came in, and Pizer blocked it, but just kind of put it right to Arango, puts it in the open net.
Yeah. Again, that was the left side. Like, I don't want to... Like, it's only one game, okay? It's only the first game of the season. It's against the winner of last year, so who cares? Like, we knew we were probably not going to get points. It's just too bad that it ended 3-0. It would have been nicer if it was, like, a 1-0 loss or something just because of goal difference and stuff. Now, having said that... Well, like, I encourage you guys to rewatch it if you don't remember, but Timbo could have just skied the ball into the middle or just cleared it, but instead he decides to play a pass where he has nobody. Fury lose the ball, and they're immediately outnumbered and get scored on, and you can't blame Pizer or anyone else really for that either.
I think there was a lot of communication stuff going on, and there was one instance where Paolo Jr. was making a run, and he was surrounded by Cosmos players, and Chin was on the other side, like, yelling for the ball and you know, didn't get, you know, the pass. But I think it's going to have to be a lot of, like, communication and, like, in stressful situations, and people have to get used to where everybody else is and where everybody else is playing. Like, I didn't see that connection that we saw last year where everyone just knew where everybody else was. Like, they could just, like, pass with their eyes closed, and this was obviously not there. So I think that's going to have to be, obviously, that's going to have to be worked on as well. And just getting used to each other, probably.
Yeah, although I thought going forward, they actually passed much better and distributed the ball much better than we've ever seen the Fury play. I thought it was very dynamic, very nice to see. It's just we lacked the finishing touch. Like, you mentioned Junior, right? Like, he had so many opportunities where he shot it too centrally, and there was just no one to finish it off. But defensively, it's just so scary because it's such an offensive system, right? And we predicted this on the last pod, right? Like, we said we'll probably leak a lot of goals. We could have scored a lot of goals, too. We just were unlucky.
Yeah, Paolo had that chance one-on-one with the keeper, just kind of put it into Maurer. Alves had that nice header from a corner, which is super close.
That was a beautiful header. It was, like, from the penalty spot.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty perfect.
Bruno put in this amazing free kick from distance that almost found, I guess it was almost Chin.
Bruno is a joy to watch. Mm. Mm-hmm. He's still got it, man. Like for this level, he's going to do just fine, I'm sure, if he can keep his discipline and motivation up.
But even with the two goals, I thought heading into halftime, they were probably the better team. They definitely had the most chances. But it's New York. You can't make mistakes against them. And the mistakes that the Fury made cost them.
And what a horrible stadium they have. I just have to mention it every time. Like, I hate their freaking lacrosse lines. I hate their everything. Like, it's just the worst to watch on TV.
I hate it, like, the sun. Let's point the camera right at the sun.
Oh, logistics. When are they getting a new stadium? Are they getting a new stadium?
It's kind of what's hard happening? To find good real estate in New York that you can afford, I guess.
Good Lord.
But, man, do they ever need a better place. They're the Cosmos, you know? They're, like, they have more Twitter followers than the NASL account. Like, they're supposed to be, like, the league's flagship product, but they really need a stadium so bad. And, like, I'm not saying that because I'm spiteful. I'm just saying it because it looks bad. Mm-hmm. But back to the game. So in, like, the 60th minute or so, we had a double sub. Johnny Steele came on, and another player came on. Blogsmith, remind me who that was.
Bered Virchin.
Yes. Oh, that's right. And then they rearranged and reshuffled everything a little bit. Timbo started playing center back, right?
Yeah.
And Marcel de Jong dropped back to left back.
Yeah, and Roseboom went to midfield.
Because he'd been playing center back, which is kind of weird to begin with. We didn't expect that.
No.
And Steele started playing in the defensive central midfield role. Was he on the right side or was he just like in the center?
I think he's just in the center.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But.
And yeah, it certainly felt like he was walking around the center bench. A lot of walking from Johnny Steele. I was not impressed.
Yikes.
And then that new signing from Israel, what's his name again?
Vered. Eden Vered.
Yeah, he looked great. Like, he was able to keep the ball up. He wasn't afraid to take on one or two players and often beat them. And he's the real deal. I'm quite excited to see more of him. Mm-hmm. And then we must have had a third sub.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, yes, Bailey came on for De Guzman. At the 76th minute.
Yeah, surprised to see De Guzman play that long. I mean, he just played two national team games. I guess he's our captain, so you don't want to take him off too early, but he's not the youngest. And then finally James Bailey came in, and he played that number six role that De Guzman plays so well. And I want him in the starting 11, man. I really like Bailey. Like,
I was a bit surprised when the starting lineup came up that he was on the bench and Giorgio was on it. But I guess it's a new year.
I just think that Giorgio and Rosenblum can't play at the same time. Like, if you have the exact same haircut and, like, you get it... Like, I've had such a... Like, I know that one is much taller than the other one, but they look identical on TV from afar. Like, it's...
I actually had a really hard time, like, identifying who was who. Like, when they first came out, I was just like, oh, my God, who are these people? Like, it was really kind of unsettling because, like, you think you know a team really well, and then...
One of them has to cut their hair.
Well, Giorgio was sporting more of a ponytail, and Rosenblum had more of a bun.
Right. Previously. You have to be a however, woman to recognize this difference.
However, Giorgio went with the man bun on Sunday, and so, like, everything got screwed up. So,
but I, for some reason, De Jong, I can distinguish from them. Like, you know, he's different body type or something. Like,
yeah, yeah.
For him, he can keep his hair as long as I watch it.
So Roseboom and Giorgio, you guys got to get your hair figured out.
One of them has to shave it off. Like the coach.
Yeah, so the third goal, I guess we should mention. The New York, the Cosmos really shut it down offensively pretty much right after half.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get a lot of... they didn't make a lot of runs up, and they're just kind of defending in prevent defense. But they were able to get... They were able to find space down that left-hand side, oddly enough.
Yeah, three times and it happened. But, you know, at this point, we were 2-0 down. We had to push forward. We tried everything, you know, to get back into the game, and we just got caught. And when the 3-0 happened, the game was over. So, basically, after the 70th minute, the game became grueling to watch because Cosmos didn't care anymore because they already knew they won, and the Fury had given up as well. But that was the game. Like, I think there's a lot more positives than people, you know, may say on social media and stuff like that. We play really well going forward, and it's a very fun dynamic system. It's going to be fun for the spectators when we start playing at home to see so many scoring chances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of times this year, I think the difference between this year and last year is that I think we're going to score more goals, we're going to concede less goals, but all the games that we may have tied 0-0, we may have lost 1-0, 2-1. Sometimes they're going to be 3-0, sometimes they're going to be 4-0, but sometimes we'll win them like 3-2. It's just the new team now.
And this is not a new pattern, right? I think you pointed out to us before the show that, you know, whenever we started the spring season, we got a beating in our first ever match in our second season, and now...
We lost this fixture. We lost away to New York last season, 1-0. It's one game. The mistakes we made are fixable. I think when Abassi finally comes back, he might shore up that left back spot.
Poltronieri could have been a good, you know, versatile player who could play left back. You know, we missed him dearly in this match, and if he listens to this still, he might be happy to hear that that we do miss him, not only as a person, but he would have been the ideal person to play left back together with De Jong. So much for that.
Yeah.
So we did ask after the game what everyone thought on Twitter, what everyone thought about the game. So we did get some responses that we'll share with you now.
Sure. So John Mack, who's at Mufet42, says, looks like a team still learning to play together. Like half the guys from last year or something. Need to figure out defense more and sort out the starting 11 better, but I guess that's ridiculously obvious. Well, we just talked about it for 20 minutes, so it might be obvious.
We can confirm.
Yeah.
Jordan, who is at Langilski, sorry, dude, but there is evidence a team is there, but lack defensive shape at times and concentration. Will be interesting to see how they react. agreed, like, if they can bounce back and make the necessary adjustments, that will show how flexible and how, you know, how well they're able to adjust.
So Jordan's actually the Scotland expert of Canucks Abroad. So I don't blame you, though, Kendra, for butchering his Twitter handle, because I have just as much problems. I always have to look it up when I want to tag him. I guess I would pronounce it Langileski.
Oh, yeah, that's not what I said.
And the person I will pronounce as the taco wanter said, unimpressed by Timbo, Roseboom, Giorgio. Bailey and Bruno had good moments. Might need De Jong to fix gaping LB hole. Alves still solid.
Yeah, that's a good comment. Like, should Marcel De Jong just play left back until we got our Obazi back?
I'm a little mixed on that. I think he'd do well at left back, but I think the Fury, maybe going forward, probably sees him a little more valuable in midfield, because I thought he had a really good game. He's very physical and
he presses really hard and really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think him and De Guzman's chemistry is really good too, so I don't think you'd want to mess with that.
Yeah. Let's not forget De Guzman basically convinced him to come here. So, yeah, the chemistry is definitely good.
But until Obasi shows up, maybe that's really early.
Yeah, he can definitely play both. So I don't think we'll see Timbo again. I think it was an experiment. Didn't work, and he'll probably slot into the center back position next to Alves, and we'll put Roseboom somewhere else, defensive midfield or something, like he played in the second half.
Yeah, Giorgio wasn't, you mentioned Giorgio, but I wasn't too, you know, impressed with him as well. I thought he was a little tentative. He gave away the ball a few times really easy. There was a couple times where De Guzman passed him a ball and he just kind of waited for it and he lost possession. But I think it's a good learning experience and nice to see him move forward. But
Kendra, was there a player, if you had to point out, that was bad, that you'd like to mention?
Same as everyone else. I think it's, Timbo and Roseboom were not terribly impressive to me. As a side note, I would love to see De Guzman, De Jong, and Eustachio start in the midfield.
Not like, Canadian biased at all here.
All Canadian midfielder. Midfield. That'd be amazing. That's my dream.
Anyway, so
Dalglish, make it happen.
let's close the chapter on this segment. It was the first game. You know, lots of positives. It was the Cosmos. It was away. It's a new team, basically. They've only been training together 6 to 8 weeks or something. So let's take a break, and then we'll be more positive.
We can also be found on Midfield Press, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And we're back. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the NASL in week one. Just do a little quick roundup of everyone who played. First off was Carolina and Minnesota. They were playing in Carolina. And anyone who knows the league well will know that it's kind of a fortress down there in that stadium. So to me, it wasn't a surprise that the Railhawks won 2-1. The goals came from Ramirez, first of all, from Minnesota. And then for Carolina, Cipollani and Deleuze, who I'm not familiar with Deleuze, but worth noting, Pigneault and Lance Lang started the season on the bench, which was kind of a surprise for me. I thought those were two good players that should have probably gotten in there, you know, right away. But also, former Fury, Drew Becky, played all 90 minutes.
And yeah, he actually had a really great debut. Mm-hmm. I followed that part of the game a little bit for Canucks Abroad. Happy for him. You know, NASL Humanitarian of the Year, Ottawa Fury something humanitarian.
yeah, for sure.
We'll always mention how the ex-Fury players are doing. I didn't expect him to be in the starting 11. He played all 90 minutes. He got a yellow. I know his parents were there watching him. You know, I'm happy for him. And it's just as a side note, like, he contacted me for the Canucks Abroad Canadian player pool, and he just said, like, don't list me as an American. Like, I'm a proud Canadian. I don't want, like, because that's he has a green card, but he doesn't actually have an American passport.
Okay.
So he counts as a domestic for Carolina, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to be seen as an American, so.
Sweet, that's awesome, Drew. Great. Also to note, in that game, in the later stages, a Carolina player was shown a red.
Simon Menzing. Yeah,
they went down to 10 men, but still, you know, we're really strong at home, of course, and as we know, won the game.
And Ramirez still scores.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota, one of the favorites coming into the year, of course, but Pino and Lance Lang are on your bench the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to get those guys on the field.
Yeah, I have Lance Lang in my fantasy league, the one that Theo Gauthier of the NASL Nightcap is running. Yeah, I didn't expect him to be on the bench. Another player that I didn't expect not to play is Mason Trafford, and that's because I'm a freaking idiot, because I should have remembered that he got a red card and that he would be suspended for the first game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's why he wasn't. Cause I reached out to his cousin Charlie, and Charlie Trafford, who plays in Poland, and then they both mentioned, you know, you should know this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I experienced that. That was a painful moment. And, yeah, we're talking about Miami FC playing at the Fort Lauderdale Strikers sad stadium. I have to say that the Bean TV coverage was fantastic.
Great.
Looks great. Yeah. Professional preview. I watch a lot of Bean TV for exotic, weird leagues that I watch, like, I don't know, Scottish First Division and whatnot, because Canadians play there. And some La Liga, and I saw the ads for the NASL. This is going to do us a lot of good. The only sad thing about this game was that the Strikers only had 2,331 people there, and it just looks bad. But it was quite a rivalry right from the get-go. I think both goals came from penalty kicks, and Miami FC certainly play very Italian. You can see that Italian influence. Very organized defensively, very tough. But also very divey. So we'll see how that flies in the North American Soccer League. It wasn't the best of games, but, you know, welcome to League Miami FC. We already hate you.
And that's a good sign.
Yeah. You want to be hated, because then you're like the Cosmos. You win things. What about the next game, Bloggy?
Next game would be the Tampa Bay Rowdies and Indy 11 sharing exactly zero goals amongst themselves for 90 minutes. Tampa Bay, yeah, 61% possession. Tommy Heinemann's first game with Tampa, only was able to get two shots off, one on target. And yeah.
How did the ex-Fury players do, Falvey, Ubi, and Patterson?
They all started. Patterson subbed off in the 63rd, but other than that, I haven't heard much. But I heard Falvey did a really good job marking Tommy.
He's like, just let him walk offside. And let him shoot. There's no power behind his shots. But good to see, on a serious note, good to see that Nicky Patterson is getting back into form, and he had such a heartbreaking injury, and friend of the show. He was, you know, he was on the 50th anniversary podcast, and it's good to see that he's finally getting back to playing. Like, an ACL injury that late, you know, in your career is tough to come back from, and that's good to see. But we still hate all three of you for leaving. We really fucking hate it. But, you know, economic realities and new coach, we just have to live with it.
Final game of the weekend was new team, Rayo OKC, Oklahoma, and FC Edmonton. Again, no goals in this game. I found this was a really weird game. The Eddies lost a player in the 30th minute, a red card, so they go down 10 men. And Rayo looked like a super strong team the entire time and could not score. So I thought that was very interesting. Rayo, like, I found them, they looked really good, and they can keep their shape, and they know, they looked really, really organized and really deadly. Like, they looked really scary. However, could not score. So they packed their stadium, though. Their attendance was sold out at 6,000 fans, but I think there was more because of standing room tickets. But yeah, it was a very interesting game.
So Steven Sander mentioned that the pitch was terrible, that nails were found on the pitch during the warm-up and the like. Was there anything you could tell from watching the game that like the pitch was in bad shape, or was the stadium's
sketchy? I actually thought it looked kind of nice. I didn't notice anything weird, but if there was... I didn't know about the nails thing. That's not really cool. Not cool at all.
And how was Samaras, the Greek legend?
He was... I thought he was pretty intimidating, and he was kind of scary. but yeah, it was obviously people were waiting to see him start playing. But yeah, I think, yeah, like Rayo just looks so good, I thought. But anyway.
Yeah, like 2-0-0s and like one boring 1-1 is like not the best way to start off the NASL.
Not starting off with a bang, that's for sure.
I mean, the Carolina-Minnesota game was kind of neat because, like, to me, it was a surprising result that Minnesota wouldn't at least take a point. But you're right to point out, you know, Carolina was always strong at home. So that was the Saturday. And of course, we just discussed the Sunday at great length. We do have a table now and we're at the bottom, but this table doesn't really mean much at this stage in the game, although the Cosmos are already in the number one and they might be close to that by the end of the spring season. Bloggy, what else is going on in the NASL? Are there some rumors or some news?
Tampa Bay Rowdies signed a Welsh forward named Elliot Richards.
Oh, Elliot Richards! No, I'm just kidding. Like, no one knows who that is.
No one knows because he last played for Bath City FC, which sits in the English 6th Division. Young guy.
No offense, Bruno.
Bruno played in the 4th.
He was loaned out to, like, 6th.
Yeah. But from what I gather, Richards will be playing for Tampa 2 in the MPSL.
Okay. Attendance was down a bit, New York and Fort Lauderdale, but those people, they're so sensitive to weather, right? Unlike us tough Canadians. Yes. So I think attendances will go up as the weather improves. It's just been sort of a very cold spring so far in this hemisphere. But Rayo Casid, as we mentioned, had good attendance. Obviously, Juan Arango got the 2 goals. So he was player of the week. He's in my fantasy team, so it's weird when you play fantasy and you're weirdly happy when someone scores against your own team. You're like, at least Arango scored. In terms of Fury news, wasn't much. For 2 or 3 days, the Twitter account was eerily silent. They just mentioned that we should follow them on Snapchat to learn more about their jerseys, to buy jerseys. I'm like, yay! What else was there?
Hayden Brechthold, who Ottawa native, and a former Fury youth player, who, if you remember, about a year and a half ago went to the Real Madrid Academy for the training sessions. He's now with Stoke City at their academy.
Cool. So if he gets signed, we'll certainly start tracking him with Canucks Abroad. Yeah. And then Kendra, you had the opportunity to speak with Jay Bindi, so tell us more about that and who he is.
Yeah, Jay Bindi is actually the head coach for the Junior Academy, the Fury's Junior Academy, and he's also assistant coach for the Senior Academy. So we were just kind of chatting a little bit, messaging back and forth, and so we just asked a couple questions of him and wondering, you know, how the academy is going. They don't start till May, I believe. We just got the PLSQ schedule, so it's going to be a little while before we can see them in action. But I was just kind of asking, it was their first year in the league last year, and so I was wondering how they've adjusted to playing in that league and what kind of things that they learned. And these are direct quotes from him, and he's mentioned that I could use his name. So he said, "Last year, I feel the players learned to play at a different level. Coming from playing in the youth levels, whether it's Ottawa Youth Soccer League,
Or SYL,
which, another league, another youth league, they're now facing opposition of players that are older, bigger, faster, stronger, and have way more experience. And tactically, they had to be really good or be punished. And so they weren't tested in that capability in the past. And so they were forced into scenarios where they had to play at a higher intensity. And so he was saying that, you know, just getting used to that was a lot. And now this year, he was saying that most of the players have now a year of experience at this level. And so they're kind of looking to build on that experience and move forward with that. And then, of course, the players and the staff all saw what the league is capable of doing last year. And then, just using that information to continue on with the original goal of the academy and the principles that they've been talking about, training in the same way as the first team and, you know, trying to use the same system to push the players and get more of them onto the first team. So, so we can look forward to seeing them play and see the future of the Fury.
Yeah, I'm looking very much forward to it. I imagine that they'll be playing all over the place again, but mostly Algonquin. In the past, right?
Actually, they're going to be completely at Algonquin this year because there is no Women's World Cup this summer, and that was the issue last summer with them moving around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be completely at Algonquin, and then of course when they play Gatineau, FC Gatineau, they'll be just across the river. So you can see quite a few games.
The Derby.
Yeah. Otto River Derby, I guess.
No, but that's good to learn a bit more. And thanks to Jay Bindi for being so open and available. And we'll certainly bring our listeners more about the Academy. We're all curious to see how these players develop. And hopefully we'll see some on the first team. So then we threw out a question for our listeners. And that was, what lineup change would you like to see most this Saturday?
And Namu Yoon at Namu Jayoon answers De Jong to left back. After that, it's up to the manager, I guess.
And then Harry, who is at McLean_HS, says he would like to see a shape.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them play compact and like Barcelona does every freaking week. That takes time. It just takes time for these players to get used to each other, and eventually we'll have a shape, I'm sure, and we just need to be patient. The Taco Wanter, who mentioned something earlier already, and he has a pretty anti-Canadian profile picture, says, but check him out on Twitter, it's at NPNTHR. He says, drop De Jong back to left back, and I'd like to see Eustáquio get a start, assuming he's fit. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that, like, we want to see Mauro because he had such positive developments, especially towards the tail end of last year. We want to see more of him.
Mm-hmm. Martin Burt at OVTC6 answers, lineup change, De Jong at left back, Bailey and Eustáquio at mid to start with Deguz, Vared start in place of Chin.
All right, so he wants to change quite a lot of things up already. I want to see Vered from the beginning as well. He's probably one of our best players on paper. Although I like Chin, he's so fast.
He's so fast.
I know.
Tiny and fast.
That's the one problem, right? He's tiny. Like he's so skinny. So like in against the Cosmos, he was a little like out muscled and stuff. But when he does take off with the ball, no one can get him.
It's like a rocket. It's crazy.
We also have some listener questions.
Oh, you're not gonna read the Darren in Ottawa one, the joke? Can we put it Big Joe in for Sparky?
I thought that was a question, but yeah. Yeah, Sparky sucks. And yeah, because we asked questions and we got exactly one. And it comes from Sam at Sam Dayu. And he asks, will Daglish realize playing with a false nine is beyond the skill tactical levels of these players?
I think it's too early to ask that question, although I have the same concern, and I voiced it in this podcast. Can these players at this level play this type of system? A system that not even, top five Bundesliga or top five La Liga sides dare to play? can we play it? You know, like, that remains to be seen, but it's certainly exciting for the neutrals. Lots of golds on both ends. We did have another question from Matthew Hawkins, who's at mhawkin2. We just forgot to read it. He wants to see Mauro as well, and he has both a question and a comment. And he says, is it too early to tell on Pizer sweeper? Is it too early to tell on Pizer sweeper keeper experiment? I don't agree that Pizer played a sweeper keeper. Like, on the third goal where he was lopped, he had to come out from his line because no one had been covering the left side. So I don't think he really played a sweeper keeper. I think he's been playing more or less the same way he always has, as a traditional keeper that doesn't come out Neuer style. So what do you guys think about this question?
Yeah, the first goal or the second goal and the third goal, I mean, he made his choice. He's always been somewhat aggressive, but he made his choice and it didn't work out for him. Especially the third goal was just a ridiculous bounce right to him.
And he nearly saved that lob. Like, we looked at it in slow motion a few times, Bloggy and I, while we were waiting for Kendra to make it through the snow. And, he almost actually recovered from that. He should have just pounced it into out of bounds or something, not in the middle.
But
that
he had to make the play.
He had to make the play.
Or the New York players 1-1.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for the listener questions. I'm really thankful, guys, that you're still sending those in. Feel free to ask us questions, just like a few of you have done. We really like that interactive process. So we are at OIT Fury on Twitter, in case you don't know. If you are not on Twitter, we have a Facebook group, or we have our email address, which is oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com. So let's take another break. And then we'll preview the game versus the Indy 11. Do you want to support our labor of love? The best way you can do that is to rate us on iTunes. Welcome back, guys, to the final segment of Ours is the Fury. This is where we preview the game that we're playing next. So we're going to be playing against the Indy 11 in Indianapolis. And obviously there's going to be three ex-Fury players that played with us last year. But we're not going to belabor that fact. We're just going to focus on the pitch stuff.
Because they are dead to us now.
We love you.
No, we don't.
No, I know we don't. Anyway, it's tough being a fan in this league. Lots of turnover. The game will be broadcast on Bein Sports as the Week 2 NASL Game of the Week. So if you don't have that channel, it might be worth getting it. They do a really good job. We obviously all know that Falvey, Patterson, and Ubi are going to be on that team, so we don't have to explain who they are or anything. They played 0-0 against Tampa, so they haven't scored, they haven't conceded. We just know we've beat them already in preseason, 3-0.
Yeah, by a lot.
Mm-hmm. But that's preseason. That doesn't really count. People are experimenting and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's also where Pablo Diego got injured.
I mean, it doesn't count, but it's nice that we won that game that didn't count instead of lose that game that didn't count.
Yes, for sure.
But actually, Martin Burt brings up a really good question on Twitter. He said, can Haworth and Junior draw a red card out of Falvey? And can Eustaquio shut down Ubi?
If anyone is going to draw a red card out of someone else, it's going to be Falvey out of a Fury player. I remember how he did that so elegantly against Eric Hasley when we played against San Antonio Scorpions.
Yeah, but that's Eric Hasley.
Yeah, I know. Anyone can draw a red out of him. But, yeah, I don't see Haworth doing that. Haworth is, like, a good kid. Mm-hmm. And Junior, he seems to have pretty good-natured guy as well, so I don't really see them. Johnny Steele?
Maybe.
Yeah. He'd be good for that. And he's the second question, whether or not Eustaquio will be able to shut down Ubi, that depends, of course, if he will play. But I think we'll be able to shut down Ubi. We know how he plays.
Oh, yeah.
We know these players well, and so do the, you know, De Guzman knows him, and not too worried, to be honest. Fury won all three matches versus Indy in 2015, right, Bloggy?
That's true. And we have a 5-win, 1-loss overall record, and we have never not won in Indy.
Okay, so that's good. they played a 4-2-3-1 formation, which is, you know, probably a formation that we should be playing because it's safe. And everyone has a set position. And there's left backs and right backs and not that much overlapping. But anyway, other than that, what else do we know, Bloggy?
Instead of... they actually acquired players who didn't play for the Fury last year. Most notable would be John Bush, the keeper, Iman Zayed, striker, and Justin Braun, the midfielder.
Yeah, and Kendra, there were also some returning players, right?
Correct. Brad Ring is back, Duke Lacroix, and Don Smart, of course, who is pretty strong.
The not-so-smart Don Smart. Mm-hmm. but yeah, you know, we talked about what we need to do. Basically, we need to fix that gaping hole on the left side, and if we do that, we're going to score. We are going to score against Indy. Like, everybody scores against them.
Yeah.
Except the Cosmos, for some weird reason. but, yeah, we should expect Bruna to stay where he was. There might be some changes. Paulo Jr. will probably get another chance, no?
I would think so. He had a pretty strong game.
Except for the finishing, yeah.
Yeah. That'll come.
Yeah.
Do we know if the Haworth injury is fairly serious, or will he be back, or...
I've heard nothing.
From preseason, like, he looks so strong. Mm. It would be a real shame for him to miss a significant part of any season.
Yeah, so if you do know, like, feel free to reach out to us. You know, you have our email. Ours is the Fury Podcast, or on Twitter, OIT Fury. So if you don't have Bein Sports, can you watch this game on Rogers 22, or do we know?
I believe so, but I'm not 100% sure.
It sounded like from what they announced that Rogers 22 would have all of the away games, but again, you know.
They've been very careful not to confirm.
But yeah, there must be watch parties by the various supporters groups, right?
Yeah, I believe SMR is at Centertown doing our pizza this time. My Town Boys will be at the Georgetown Pub again, and still no official club viewing parties. And I don't know if that's going to change or not. I think there should be. Should there not be official viewing parties?
A lot of people seem to miss them. I actually saw something on Twitter. Someone went to the Heart and Crown and was like, where is everybody?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, do seek out the people that you think that you'd like to watch soccer with and do it together. It's always a lot of fun.
We should mention it's Saturday night, 7:30.
Yep. So, you know, if you have any other plans, cancel them. This is the most important thing. If it's your wedding anniversary, you know, you'll have another one next year, so...
Oh, John!
Only half kidding. And... Yeah, should we read that Nicky Patterson quote that is like 1,000 stabs at once into my stomach?
Yeah, sure.
What
is it's reported by Scott Stewart at Scott Stewart XI on Twitter. And he quotes Nicky Patterson on a home opener saying, "There's no way we're going to lose to that team, and there's no way we're going to lose at home."
That team, eh?
Right back at you, Nikki.
I do feel it's funny, the confidence of the draw, but not the win. It's weird he says something, a quote like that, just kind of a little stabby at this old team, but not confidence enough to say we're going to win.
There was another heart-wrenching match day poster by the Indy 11. We will always have like these very... cool graphics, but it's Ubi Parapovic, Kendra. Did you see it?
I did.
How did that make you feel?
No comment.
There's some Kleenex over here. anyway, I think that brings us to the end of our first regular podcast, where we had a game to review, a game to preview. It's good to be back.
Correct.
And next time, hopefully, it'll be all of us.
And hopefully, the weather's a bit better.
We are getting dangerously close to our home opener, and there's still a lot of snow on the ground.
Yep.
Which is always nerve-wracking, but it's spring in Canada, so...
So just, you know, for those that haven't listened, and because I threw it out like a million times already, but I'll do it again. OIT Fury on Twitter. Facebook group. Just look for RSS The Fury, and it's not the Game of Thrones nerds. Podcast email is oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com. Am I missing something?
If you're into reading about the Fury and also about other sports teams in Ottawa, I'm currently writing for Ottawa Sports Network, and that is, the website is ottawasports.ca. So I'll have a couple articles on there per month. At the moment, I have a post up there about the last game.
Bloggy, do you have anything?
No, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @blogfuryfc, mother and net, I got nothing.
Okay. I already plugged Canucks Abroad enough, but lots of exciting stuff happening there. I'm fussball_a, so fussball _eh on Twitter. And I think that pretty much puts a wrap on it, and things are going to look up very soon, weather-wise and results-wise, I'm sure of it.
Toodles.
So this Ottawa Fury Snapchat thing is really working for our demographic, eh?
It's all man buns all the time.
I'm getting so many ideas for new hairstyles, guys.
That's so cool.
Who cares about the kids? I want man buns.